took an effort to get here tonight because it's snowing. I realize that, and I'm very happy to see so many who've been able to come to the gospel meeting. We appreciate that. We don't take it for granted. Some of you have come from a distance. We plan to preach the gospel here again tomorrow night, same time, in the same place, and we ask you to return. On Friday evening, there will be no gospel meeting here. There will be a children's meeting at 6:30 in the Rosebank Gospel Hall in the basement. So we ask you to consider those meetings. Before we read together from the Bible, let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus. We are thankful for those glorious words. Down from the glory, the Savior came. When we think about the fact that the one who went to the cross existed in heaven eternally, we are caused to marvel. That our Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus didn't have his beginning in Bethlehem, but he had a beginningless beginning. He always was. And yet this one who always was came into this world to die on the cross for sinners. Tonight we are thankful. Now we pray. We pray for the gospel meetings that are going on in Bridgewater, although they canceled tonight because of weather. We pray for the souls there. We pray for John Procopio and Paul Jenkinson in English Point, Labrador. We pray for Marv Dirksen and Dave Mullet as they preach there in Newfoundland, Glovertown. We pray for Brandon Dahl and Frank Sona as they preach in Hightsville, Iowa. And we ask thee, Father, to bless them. And bless us here tonight. Bless us with listening ears. And bless us with open hearts, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you have your Bible with you, open it to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, please. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 3. We find it very important to stress that the gospel that we are going to preach to you tonight is found in the Bible, so that our authority to say the things that we are going to say comes from the Bible. And I'm going to continue to stress that because I think it's important. So, what you hear tonight, you should be able to find in the Bible. What you hear should be able to be measured by the scriptures. I'm just going to get you to shut that light off because it's a little bit distracting on the ceiling. All right, thank you. When it comes down to it, it's going to be the Bible that's our authority for the gospel. So that's why we ask you to read your Bible. But in the Bible, we find the central figure of the gospel. And that's a person. And when we read in Hebrews 12 and verse 3, we're going to be reading about that person. So we'll read together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 says these words. For consider him. Consider him. Last night, I asked you to remember three things, three basic things. Hell is real. Sin is serious. And God is speaking. Three simple things. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to consider or to think about three simple things. If we go to the Old Testament of our Bible, in the books of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, verse 29, tells us this. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. So the first thing I want you to think about is to consider our latter end. In the book of Haggai, the prophet is addressing the nation that has turned away from God. And the message for them is to consider, but not consider their latter end, but to consider their ways. So in the book of Deuteronomy, we're going to think about considering our latter end. In the book of Haggai, we're going to think about considering our ways, our current ways. But in Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to consider him. Consider him who has accomplished so much. Consider him who is the Savior of sinners. Consider him who is the Son of God. When we start to go through these points, it's going to become very obvious to you that we are not tonight trying to get you to join our Christian club. We're not here trying to get you to sign up to be a member of our church. And we're not here tonight to try and get you to think the way that we think. We are here tonight to present you with a person. Now, I know I've gone over that, but we're back at it again. We're here tonight to present you with a person. And for those of you who haven't heard the gospel in the past, remember, the gospel is good news about a person who came into the world. For those of you who have heard the gospel many, many, many times, I want to be clear. I want you to start right from square one. I want you to take any thoughts that you might have, any misconceptions that you might have, and measure it by this statement. Is the gospel you know about a creed, a religion, or a person? Because the gospel is good news. The gospel is good news that you can have your sins forgiven. The gospel is good news that you can be rescued from punishment. The gospel is good news that you can know God as your Father. The gospel is good news that you can have everlasting life. The gospel is good news that you can be saved. But remember, the gospel is good news that you can have your sins forgiven through a person, the Lord Jesus. The gospel is good news that you can have God as your Father through a person, the Lord Jesus. For he said, "No man comes unto the Father but by me." The gospel is good news that you can have everlasting life through a person, because he says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's blessings are focused on you, but they're given through a person, the Lord Jesus. Have you considered where you'll be after you die? The days go by quick. I find it remarkable. You open your eyes, the next thing you know, after four or five or six coffee, the day is gone, right? The time comes and goes so quickly. And I know it's an old man saying, right, that the older you get, the quicker it goes, but it does. But most times from morning till night, we're so busy that we don't consider. And when we're not busy, we're distracted, and we don't consider. We don't consider the important things in our existence. The most important thing, where you will be forever after you die. Consider your latter end. Think with me just for a second now as we have this chart behind me on the wall. This chart is not the Bible. So we don't preach the gospel from the chart. We preach the gospel from the Bible. But the chart is a collection of illustrations. So an artist took the time to illustrate Bible verses. So I can get you a copy of this that's able to be put in your pocket and opened up, and you're able to look these verses up from the Bible yourself. But you will find each one of these items that's on the chart is connected to a Bible verse, right? So that this illustration here is connected to the Bible verse in Luke 13, verse 25. About a closed door, and it says there's coming a time when the master of the house rises up and he shuts the door. And that's the closed door when opportunity to be saved will be gone. We know that according to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 9 and 27, it is appointed unto men once to die.
So that's why this illustration is here on the chart. And each one of these illustrations is connected to a Bible verse. Now, the Bible tells us about places after death. Say that in a different way. The Bible tells us where you will be forever after you die. The Bible talks about heaven. The Bible says a little bit about heaven, actually. The Bible talks about heaven in terms of what heaven is made of. The Bible talks about heaven in terms about who will be there. But the most important thing that the Bible says about heaven is that the Lord Jesus is there. When you look at this chart again, you will find this verse right here, Philippians 1, verse 23, tells us that to depart from this life is to be with Christ, which is far better. So that the Apostle Paul would depart this world and immediately be with his Savior. That's his latter end, right? So that you can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you know what you'll find there? Every true believer in the Lord Jesus, the moment they leave their body, they are at home with the Lord. Immediately. So, every person who's saved and has their sins forgiven, their latter end, consider it, is heaven. But now, here's where we get in trouble, right? We believe the Bible. But we want to take some things out of it. Right? We like to see about heaven in the Bible. We love to see where God takes people to heaven and there's no more tears and there's no more crying, there's no more pain, and there's only joy in heaven. We love those pages, right? And we'll open it and we'll read it and all the way down. But when we come to passages that speak about hell, we flip over them quickly, right? But can I tell you this? The same Bible that talks about heaven as the latter end for the believer speaks about the real sufferings of hell as the end for the sinner. Need to consider that. Because the Bible tells us that if we consider this, we're wise. Very wise people consider their latter end. I think it would be silly of you to set out in your car and head that way, and I ask you where you're going, and you say, I don't know. I'm just going to drive. Okay, well, sometimes you go for a Sunday drive, right? You might even go for a Sunday drive on a Monday. I don't care what day it is. You're just going out for a drive, right? But if you keep going and going and going and going and never know where you're going, I'd have some questions about whether or not you're wise, right? The wise man thinks about the end. The wise man thinks about the very end. And when we are thinking about the end, we're going to consider eternity. Now, based on what you know from those Bible verses, where is your latter end? If tonight you were to leave this world and go into the next, would it be heaven or hell? Consider your latter end. But for some of us, we need to be more in the book of Haggai and consider our ways. Consider our ways right now. Haggai was addressing the nation because they were trying their best to get the most out of this world that they could. That's what he was saying. He was talking to a people who were trying their best to get the most they could out of this world. Their enjoyment and their money and their possessions was all that consumed them, right? And it's very easy for us in our affluent society to be like that. So that we, every day is a different pleasure. Every day is a different acquisition, a different possession. So that we're always consumed with as much as we can get out of this world. And Haggai says, you're working so hard and you're getting money and you're collecting that money and you put it in a bag that's full of holes. You're working so hard and you're bringing in all your crops, but there's never enough. You're working so hard. I could say tonight about us in this meeting, you're working so hard to have all that you can get from this world. But in the end, we have nothing, right? When they took all of those riches and put it in a bag with holes, it didn't matter how hard they worked or how much they got, the bag was full of holes. If I could just be a little bit plain with you, it doesn't matter how much you get or how much you have, when it comes to die, it's all left behind. It doesn't matter how many times you've had a good party. Doesn't matter how many times you've enjoyed the day. It doesn't matter how many times you've enjoyed the drink or your drugs or whatever it is. It doesn't matter, because at the end, you have nothing. And Haggai says, now, there's a way that's better. A way that's better. Consider your ways. Consider something that transcends time. In other words, consider something that lasts beyond the grave. I need to say that again because I want everyone to get it. There is something that you can get in this life that will last forever. Forever. And I can go around the room tonight and I could get people to tell you how they came to possess a life that will never, ever go out. How they came to be currently possessing something that will never change. Can I tell you tonight that eternal life can be yours right now? And you'll have it forever. The Bible talks a lot about the difference between the temporary things and the eternal things, because we need to be warned about the danger of putting our time and effort into temporary things and forgetting about the God of eternity. And this is no different. I want you to consider your ways. If you are considering eternity at all tonight, go in for what's real. Don't wait another day. Whatever you have on your mind that you are putting before the reality of salvation, I'm not going to say set it aside. I'm going to say throw it aside. Consider your ways and go in for something that's real. Consider your latter end from the book of Deuteronomy. Where will you be? Now, I'm going to revisit this question because I went by it too quickly. Where you will be on Sunday morning is not my concern. So that if you sit here in the gospel hall singing and praying or doing whatever, it doesn't matter to me. That's not what I'm concerned about tonight. So that if you have a church that you go to, that's not my concern. My concern is this. Where will you be when you die? Consider it. And my concern is not to try to get you to stop working hard. I think everyone here should continue to work hard. But my concern is to get you to focus on the things that are eternal and consider your ways. But if there was someone who came up to me on the streets of O'Leary and said, listen, I've been thinking about being saved all the time. I can't stop thinking about it. I've been thinking about where I'll be after I die all the time. I have no peace. I'm not settled. I've been wanting to be saved now for a while. I thought I was saved, and now I know from the Bible that I'm not saved. I'm wondering, how can I know for sure that I have this eternal life? You know what I would tell them? Consider him. Consider him. Because as we noted last night, the one and only thing that is keeping you from God is your sin. That's the only thing. Your sin is keeping you from God now, and your sin will keep you from God for eternity. From the youngest in here until the oldest in here, sin is the only problem we have that keeps us from God. The problem is that God requires a payment for sin that we can't pay. Right? God requires a payment for sin that we could never afford. In fact, we can't even come up with the currency. I'm not sure if you've ever been in a country that doesn't take Canadian dollars and tried to pass them a loonie, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work, right? It's not the same currency. The currency of heaven is not our good works to pay for sin. The currency of heaven is not going to church to pay for sin. The only currency, the only thing that God accepts as a payment for sin is the Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross. So again, considering him. Consider him. If our sin is our only problem, and he came into the world and he died to pay the price for sin, we should consider him, right? Now, when he died on the cross, he wasn't making a partial payment for sin. That's important to realize. I'm not sure if you've ever found yourself in this position or situation, but sometimes people can owe a bill or owe money, right? And there are a few different ways to pay back a loan. You can make monthly installments, right? And then every month when you make that installment, that payment, you know, I fulfilled my obligation for now, but there's still more to pay, right? Or you could go into the bank and you could pay the entire loan so that not only are you making an installment, you are completely satisfying the debt. So that the entire debt is no longer there and you never have to pay any more. There's a difference. You know it, don't you? There's a difference between a partial payment where you have to pay more and a complete payment where it's all paid. Well, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he didn't make a partial payment. He didn't make an installment to God for sin. He paid it all. So that when we think about the Lord Jesus and consider him, it's not like he paid some. Now, if I'm really good, I can pay the rest. That's not the gospel. It's not that he paid some and if I go to church, or he paid some and if I get baptized, or he paid some and if I, nothing like that. It's he paid it all so that God is completely satisfied with that payment. Consider him and his payment for sin. Now consider him because he's trustworthy. Not everyone in O'Leary would I trust with my wallet. I hope that doesn't offend anybody. But I don't just go around handing out my wallet to everybody, do you? No? Keep your wallet, right? But there are some people I trust with my wallet. I wouldn't mind now coming down and saying, Daryl, could you hold on to my wallet for a few days? I'm quite confident in my friend Daryl that he wouldn't steal my money and use my credit cards. I'm confident in that because I know him. I can trust him, right? So you need to consider the Lord Jesus in the same way. He is absolutely trustworthy. His character has proven it. So that not only did he die to pay for sin, but you can believe him. You can trust him. So that he says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe him. I trust him. So the moment that I put my trust in him, I received everlasting life. You say, how do you know? Well, he said it. He said it right there in the Bible. And if he said it and he's trustworthy, then it must be true, right? You see, these simple terms that we need to think in need to be revisited, because the simplicity of the gospel is this. We're all going out into eternity. We should consider where. We all need to prepare for eternity. We should consider it now. But he has paid the debt for sin, and you can trust him. You should consider him. The Bible says to consider him.